sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And hello, welcome to the Skeleton Boys. This is a horror movie podcast, and I am John.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Monkey Shines. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing Yellow Jackets Season 3, Episode 2. I do not have the name of this. Dislocation.
Could you imagine if they were all tennis players as opposed to football/soccer players, and their rockets turn into Jello, and they would be called the Jello Rackets?
The Jello Rackets.
Yeah.
Rolls write off the tongue.
Down, Paramount. Write it down.
Paramount or Showtime or whatever, whatever it is now.
Whatever. Whatever is not on quote unquote a monopoly, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, we are reviewing. Why don't we start with the flashback stuff? Because that's kind of where we left off, anyways, with Mari falling in the pit, trapping Mari, and then they have that difficult scene where she's like dislocated her knee, and then because that's how that works, right, John? You dislocate your knee, and then you pop it in, and then it's good. I can walk.
Yeah, her kneecap is going to be fine for the rest of her life. It's okay.
Yeah, and then
it's definitely not fucked forever.
I guess the only thing really kind of a note here is between this interaction is maybe just Ben is basically saying he didn't burn down the cabin.
Yeah.
But with him sort of talking to himself, he seems like he's interacting
with something. Yeah.
Something like he's a little far gone or like disassociated or maybe being haunted or something. So it's hard to tell.
Oh, and it's important to note something I forgot was that he did witness the girls eating what was Javi's brother's name? Trevor.
Yes. What else happened here? The girls are searching for Mari. What's her face? Shauna doesn't want to participate. Because we'll find out why a little later. And then Lottie is poisoning Travis with mushroom tea. Yeah, just like, seriously. Bro, leave that poor guy alone. This is where I feel like Yellow Jackets works the best, because it's kind of like we know Travis doesn't make it. He becomes an addict.
Yes.
And you kind of see, and then it's so sad to watch a young Travis sort of be helpless against this addiction that Lottie's kind of putting him through and stuff. So
because Lottie is so mentally unwell,
right? Yeah,
but luckily, you know, as kids and going through this traumatic experience, they definitely can cut ties with her and never ever talk to her again as a baby.
Oh, we'll definitely get there. I think seeing them interact, it kind of takes me back to what season one, where Lottie basically she says that like Travis gave her all her money and something. There was like this sketch thing where if you don't remember this, where Travis like basically like he dies under weird circumstances, right?
Yes.
And it's never really truly explored. I wonder if the show will ever circle around back to that, because it seems like there was more story to tell, like because of Travis's suspicious, the way he kind of died was suspicious, but I did. Yeah.
I feel like that would have been fleshed out with Natalie, but then Natalie or Juliette Lewis had herself killed off. So
she's like, please just kill me the fuck off. Yeah. Get me off this show. I don't blame her. Also, for my notes, it says Misty and Natalie go out together, and Misty sees like a trap, and I guess the idea is that Natalie, even though she's the leader, she's maybe hiding where Ben is. She knows where Ben is.
Yeah.
And that's going to kind of probably cause because here's my theory on this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that Lottie was in charge of the group when they were in the cabin, but for whatever reason, it had to change hands because remember how like Lottie was like very heralded and like she was taking care of the baby and she was like communicating with it since the very beginning. And I feel like it kind of passed over to Natalie because Natalie is more like logical and more like practical of surviving. And so that's why they're maybe thriving at this point, quote unquote, because I still think it's maybe some funny stuff going on there because of the time jump.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I feel like since we know at some point they're going to go back to winter, right?
Yeah.
I suspect that somehow Natalie is going to be ousted and Shauna is going to be kind of maybe the antler queen. That's my lizard brain theory. Does that track?
Yeah, I guess her or Misty, right?
Or Misty. I feel like Shauna is not a good person.
Shauna's got a lot of issues.
She's clearly not only the young Shauna. We kind of saw her being problematic since like the first episode, but now that we've met adult Shauna, she's very problematic and unlikable. I would suspect she's unlikable, right? But Melanie Lewinsky plays her so well, and she herself is so likable. It's kind of adds this weird, like, I want to be supportive of Shauna, get her shit together, but clearly she's like, clearly has a lot of emotional problems and other things about her that are unlikable traits.
I'm also going to throw out there that since the beginning of the show, of all the actresses on the show, Sophie Thatcher is the one that's really skyrocketed in popularity. So anything to give her more screen time than, you know, I think is going to help the show.
That's also true. I also suspect the same thing.
It's also the Lottie character. I don't know why they keep writing themselves into this corner. Like, they make her just so insufferable and unlikable, and she's doing bad things. Mm-hmm. Whoever's playing teen Lottie is doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sucks because the actress playing adult Lottie is not very strong.
And I would argue that it's a lot of the writing. It's like they kind of didn't know what to do with adult Lottie. And
But like you said, Melanie Lynskey is just super likable, even though the character is super unlikable.
So you're right. It's a combination of both, which is so strange because I feel like this show, that's like the first thing this show was known for, was how well they cast the old and young versions of the show. They did absolutely. It was like 100 out of 100 the first season in casting. And the Bill and Melinda Author game, I think. Last thing I'll say about the flashback stuff is that now we get Melissa kind of moving more up front, and we know that she's going to have a more meatier role because they make her gay. Shauna, yeah. Which is like, that's not a character trait, right? Being gay is not, it doesn't mean, well, I don't even know if it's like a gay thing. Maybe she's just like, has a crush on her or something and kissed her. I don't know. What do you think about this? I thought this was probably the poorest part of the episode, the ending here.
I think it's, I don't know if, I mean, maybe it is of course going to be kind of a gay thing, but I think it's more of, you put like even just like a bunch of dudes in a place together and they're stuck there for like, how long were they there? Like almost 3 years?
18, I think it was 18, 19 months. 18, 19 months, a year and change.
Year and a half. You know, especially teenagers, eventually things are going to get weird.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was a little weird. I did see it coming. I did see like the Melissa character. I'm like, okay, obviously has a crush on Shauna.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, because she was feeling weak and angry and she's like, I can fix her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know what's going to happen to that character. I guess the speculation is in present day, somebody's been sending Shauna stuff that she's not receiving because, I mean, I understand why Callie's being like this, but I'm like, God damn it, Callie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just because nobody wants to tell Callie anything. I feel like if they just communicated, if anybody in the show just communicated, there wouldn't be a show.
Yeah. We'll see. I think the rumor is that even though we're a little behind there are a few episodes ahead of us. We're a little behind. I believe the rumor is that Hilary Swank is the older version. Because she's supposed to pop up this season as a character, and everyone just suspect, oh, well, it's Melissa. I mean, that's kind of the most obvious way to go, but it could be somebody else. I mean, who knows? We know who she plays yet.
This is true. And I'm definitely not looking ahead.
Okay.
No, nothing yet.
And, okay. We'll go to present day. So I'm assuming you've already kind of hinted at, you didn't like that. This whole adult stuff with Lottie moving in with Shauna and the Callie stuff and Misty babysitting. I was not a fan of this either. I thought it was actually part of kind of just, it was entertaining and funny because Christina Ricci's
no
in it.
No sense, right?
I don't. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Christina Ricci part's great too.
Yeah.
She's like forever and ever going to be their punching bag, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't understand why they would bring Lottie inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Why they would go through the whole thing and just like, well, I didn't want the neighbors to see you convicted or like, you know, somebody like you pop up in my house. I'm like, then call the fucking cops and get her out of here. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like at this point, everything that bad that happens to these women is because they keep inviting bad things to happen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just felt like this is a little too convenient TV-ish moment stuff. Like, yeah. Like, characters, clearly Lottie should have died last season, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that would have been the sort of button on that character, but they're like, oh well, she's but they had to kill Natalie character because Julie, of course, we've talked about. I think that the fact that Julie did not want to be on the show really threw a lot of like wrenches in their plans, so then they just now are having to readjust where their story's going to go, because I obviously they had no intention of like killing that character off.
Right.
So you couldn't necessarily kill Lottie and Natalie. So now we're stuck with this weird new subplot to try to add her into the show. Like, oh, I'm perfectly fine, even though I didn't run a cult and I possibly could have killed Travis. And I've drugged all these people and a character that should have just only maybe survived one season, but is here we are. Not a super fan of it.
I am enjoying the Misty and what is Elijah Wood's character's name? Walter.
Oh, Walter.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just wants
conflict.
To help her.
Yeah, yeah, the conflict. Yeah,
she's just frustrated because she's projecting her frustrations with the group on him.
I think Walter is saying the truth about her friends. He's just saying the truth about everything. He knows he's telling her exactly what's going on. And she's like completely like oblivious, or I don't even think that she's oblivious to it at this point. I think she's just used to this relationship.
Yeah. Like this is who they are to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's also put into a corner where she's like, I just killed Natalie, who mm-hmm. she considered her best friend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I like that part of the story. I like.
Well, yeah, more Christina Ricci. Yeah, that's always a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I do like. I wish they had dived more into Van and
Thaisa.
Thaisa, their whole thing where they dined and ditched, and then the waiter for some reason decided to run after him. Well, a little bit of a weak subplot point because. Waiters do not fucking do that. No, nobody does that. They just like, oh shit, they got away.
Right. Yeah.
Cause I think it's also against the law to assault somebody on the street just because they dined and ditched.
Mm-hmm.
Dined and ditched. But just about him dying and then Thaisa just kind of trying to come to terms with that.
Right.
Which I thought we were going to see the faceless man again in this episode. We didn't, right? Or did I miss it? I feel like we didn't.
Yeah. I think he only appeared in the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah, I think that's kind of it. I think we get Shauna There's like this whole subplot thing with Shauna going out with Jeff to meet some potential clients, but...
Oh, and somebody left their cell phone on purpose.
Somebody left their cell phone. She has like this thing where she's kind of being stalked or something. And
yeah, like somebody shut off the lights in the bathroom that she was in.
Clearly.
I think she was trying to drop a hot steaming dookie and mm-hmm. shut the lights off on her.
So she pinched it and then...
I had to move prairie dog in this whole time upstairs. Just kidding. No,
mud butt the whole way.
It's a Shauna. Goes to the restroom and it's clearly to get away from these two like sort of stupid tech bro style.
Yeah,
guys, right?
Nepo children. Yeah.
And Jeff is just like, this is like a chance to fucking get some money back into our family.
Yeah, I would say. I'm probably the last thing I probably will say about the episode is that I did kind of like that we're kind of coming back to the idea that Lottie wants something from Callie, and we kind of see that she feels like it definitely feels like Callie's being added to this group, right? Like she's going to somehow,
she's important to whatever Lottie thinks is actually going on.
Right.
Woods.
Which is why she treated Travis that way, why she treated the baby that way, why she is gonna start treating the other person they ran into, right? That Travis said that like she talks to animals. It seems like a total fake out, right? Like
It's really weird that she's still around even like in this world as a person, because like she seems like completely off, right? And
Lottie,
it's like
yeah.
really like everything that she's done suggests that she should be like in charge of like Doge in the government.
Doge.
She's so off her rocker.
Okay. Alrighty. What'd you think of the episode overall?
Overall, I thought it was okay. It was fine.
Yeah, same. There's things I liked, there's things I didn't like, but that's Yellow Jackets now.
Yeah, kinda, yeah. You kind of just get used to like it's not a bad time ever. It's just kinda like some things I'm like, let's get past this.
Yeah. Okay.
Unlike our main movie, which is perfect.
Alrighty. Moving over to our main review of Monkey Shines. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny
5 words
plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
For George A. Romero's adaptation of the Monkey Shines novel by some English guy. Coming in at number 3, wasn't Stephen Root in this?
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck did he go? And coming in at number 2 for Monkey Shine, quadriplegic dreams of monkeying around. It's, titles in the 80s were a little iffy. Old enough to look back on like a lot of movies and stuff and be like, oh, that shit was fucking racist.
Exactly.
Like, Jesus. I was actually a little worried. I was like, when I found out, oh, I've been wrong about this being a Stephen King thing, I'm like, I hope it's not a fucking weird thing. I hope I'm not. I mean, it was. But not in the way I thought.
Very
it
weird.
Would be.
Yes, yeah. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. We go places. Yes.
And coming in at number 3. I mean, number 1, actually. Coming in at number 1 for Monkey Shines. Does the sex scene work?
We will definitely get into that.
I just don't see a world where this movie could be adapted today also. It is a little... didn't it seem mildly offensive to quadriplegic people, too? There was something a little off-putting about...
Yes, I would say this movie's very problematic. Full disclosure, I thought this was The Monkey Shines was an adaptation of a Stephen King, The Monkey.
Yeah, the same thing. And then when you told me it wasn't, that's when I was like, God, I hope this isn't like insanely like, you know, now I'm thinking it's going to be a racist thing. It's going to be a homophobic thing. It's going to be like, I was really worried.
Yeah. No, it's just bestiality. It's
like, yeah, what did I do? So, I need you to agree to watch this, is what happened in yours.
I think part of the problem is that the poster is the poster of this movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen the poster of this movie? Yeah. The poster is of a monkey with the
symbols,
The symbols, which is what Stephen King wrote about, and the monkey was always the symbols, even though, like you said in the last podcast, that it got changed because Walt Disney owns trademark the monkey with the symbols.
It was a fucking Toy Story 4.
Because of Toy Story 4. So they had to use drums instead now, which is weird thing. That just further perpetuates that Disney owns us, right? So, yeah. So I always thought they were connected, but they're not. And which is fine. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to watch. I haven't seen this movie in a very long time. I'm just going to watch it on its merits. I'm just going to judge it for, like, it'll be a full, like, a new movie experience.
Which for me, it totally did. I was like, I don't remember any of this.
I feel like this is one of those movies that I saw a lot as a kid in cable, like, I caught parts of. Right? Like
The Bird. I don't fucking remember that at all. I don't remember the weird sexual tension between the mom and the son.
Or I would say there's a lot of sexual tension with him and the monkey.
Yeah, and the monkey. Fucking strange.
I did not. It's a very strange movie.
Yeah.
And I find the strangeness of it to be honestly the best parts of this movie. It's actually. because
once you succumb to the goofiness of what's going on, you're like, okay, this is.
Once this movie hits the third act and we are just in bizarro gonzo territory here, I think, in my opinion, like unwatchable, I think. Yeah. And that's the thing about Romero, right? Like, clearly Romero is a legend in horror and films.
I'm making a lot of assumptions without saying things. I thought it was going to be a weird thing because it was George Romero, and George Romero has been very, uses a lot of like racial tensions, and like once in a while there's like homophobic stuff, but not in a negative way. He's trying to shine light.
Right. Yeah. He tries to have that sort of conversation, nuanced, more conversation about it. Yeah, he's not exploiting it, right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but then he adapted some English white guy's book.
So I was like, which
and I'm wondering if the book is exactly like this movie, because holy hell, I was not sure what I was watching. There's something to be said about the climax of the end of this movie. The way everything is one made me laugh really hard.
Yeah. I think people like Romero is, you know, he did the Dead movies.
Six,
60s, 70s, he was king of horror, right? I mean, he's done some really amazing things. Even some like some of his underlooked films, like Night Riders, is actually, I think, is a great movie. Passion Project for him. I think it's an excellent movie with Ed Harris.
The Crazies,
Martin, you know, he's on fire, right? But there's a period in the 80s where Romero, what he was putting out was very subpar to bad, all right?
He did Creepshow, right?
He did Creepshow, yes. But I feel like, and Monkey Shines feels like, I couldn't get over how, like, TV movie this was. The direction. Like
TV movie and very, Were you doing drugs with Stephen King? What's going on?
How much coke were they all on?
Not enough.
Not enough coke, guys. I don't know. So we can get into. I mean, what's this? The more meat of the story. Like, I mean, when this movie kicks off with like, what is it like? Kind of Alan, the character, right? Plays an athlete who is. Basically struck by a garbage truck
and flies vertically up into the air. And
this is,
and I was like, what?
This is what I'm saying. Like, it's very like,
he's like a German Shepherd pops out of nowhere and it's enough for him to run into the street for some reason.
Yeah.
Like most people run backwards or like walk backwards to get away with something. And this guy was like, I need to run in front of this dump truck.
And then we have young Stanley Tucci playing the evil doctor who saves his life. Right.
Yep.
And just that opening sequence and the way it was like edited together felt very TV-ish. And then we get to his sort of welcoming home party or whatever, and it's the lighting's super flat and the dirt, the camera's not moving, and it's just like, God, what is this?
The sets are like real one-dimensional.
Yeah. It's like, it's very TV. It just feels so small.
Concerned about where his stapler's at. Just like,
And then we kind of get into, we are introduced to his
beard?
What's your name? Oh. His fake beard.
Is that what you're going to say?
Well, I was going to say his girlfriend.
He's unaware that his girlfriend has left him for Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, what is the plot here? Yeah,
his best friend, Alan, who's like doing all these experiments on Capuchins, is like, oh, I forgot about my friend's homecoming thing. And it's like,
yeah.
And then like his ex-girlfriend is like having issues and is like drinking a bunch of whiskey real quick. She's like, oh, I got to deal with this. I'm like, what is this?
So that's kind of like, you know, it's funny. I have a weird, a related story to that because I had a friend who had started dating. He told me this story. So it's that he had started dating somebody, but he had he just started seeing this girl and started dating her, but then received that he had testicular cancer.
Oh.
So he had to get like operated and on and everything. So, and halfway through that process of him going through everything, like she like, this is like too much for me. And she like broke up with him, which at the time was like, oh yeah, what a bitch. But it's like, to be fair,
it's a lot to deal with. Yeah.
It's a lot to deal with. Yeah. Like it's a lot to kind of just take on. So in a way I can kind of,
he's going
to
look at first, his testicles, he's less of a man, right? That's how,
yeah,
that's how this works in America.
It's funny. They made him a like welcome home care package, but they like bought him like all these snacks, like corn nuts, and they just took off the S. So
yeah.
Because you know, I guess one nut. But yeah. So, that's so funny. Anyways,
I do have a friend who did have testicular cancer and did have to lose one of his testicles. And I would tell people, and of course, this is usually when I'm drunk because I'm like my most brash. And I'm like, you know, it's because, dude, the good Lord blessed you with two beautiful testicles, and that's unfair.
Yeah. So at least at the beginning, I was empathizing with his girlfriend until she clearly moves on to Stanley Tucci.
They made like the way the characters are developed there is like, oh, they're just like trashy people, and she just seems confused the whole time. I'm like, what's going on here? Like,
yeah. No, and once we meet the other monkey trainer, it's like, oh yeah, obviously I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I would say downgrade. I think I prefer the brunettes to the blonde. Downgrade. Yeah. There's a monkey in this movie, John, that's being pumped full of some type of serum that makes it more intelligent.
Yeah, Ella. Her real name is
Ella. Boo. I would have just preferred Boo when I saw that. Anyways. And his friend is some sort of like, I guess, experimenting doctor, right? Like he's kind of like testing animals for different stuff, and he's pumping it for full of this green serum and Jeffrey, makes it smarter.
Right? I think I kept calling him
Jeffrey.
He's our main guy.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey is his friend. Yeah, Jeffrey Fisher.
And he was like one of the mainstay characters on Mad About You.
Yes. Yeah, the sort of slutty friend.
Yeah. The Secret of My Success, he was also in that movie. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Not a bad actor, but he is given things to do in this movie.
I know, right?
Holy shit.
Yeah, weird.
Weird. And so
the fucking big pharma guy or something like that. It's like testing on animals and shit like that.
Well, that's his boss, right? Yeah. Like his quote unquote. Wasn't this a university? I could have sworn this was a university, but it feels more like it was a
the exterior
business test.
Yeah, the exterior suggested that it was a secret underground testing facility that a bunch of protesters found and started tagging, some of the worst looking tagging I've ever seen.
Right, yeah. Okay, and then... And this is, to me, this is where the movie gets real good, because Ella's introduced and to Alan, and then they immediately hit it off. And I actually enjoyed this very like sweet, almost dare I say romantic relationship between Alan and Ella, to where to naturally they grow a almost telepathic connection to each other for reasons.
Yes.
So this part I loved. I could have actually done 20 more minutes of this part.
Because Ella had been pumped full of human hormones by Jeffrey, and that's how that works.
Sure.
And the last batch of human hormones he got, which is like a cloudy white substance, don't understand, was from a recently deceased woman. Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just a montage. I so much enjoyed the montage of their meet cute romance that's developing between this service monkey and Alan. Yeah. To me, this is the best part of the movie, dude. I love this. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thought I wish honestly they could have gone further with it. I mean, because she's literally
you
like licking.
To see Alan fuck the monkey. Just admit it. You're on the air.
I wanted him to play with this monkey. Yes, I wanted him to play.
Because I got to tell you, again, I don't really remember this movie all that well, I guess. And I just was not sure where it was going at any given moment.
I love that we were in this unknown territory. We didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I've seen this movie, and then I'm like, God, I don't remember any of this. But we probably got the like cut made for like TBS version.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. To me, I like to imagine, and there's no way of knowing this for sure, right? But I like to imagine this is why Romero wanted to make the movie. This weird subplot.
It's gotta be, because I'm like, there's something not Romero about this movie, even though I know, what's his name, did a lot of the makeup effects.
Tom Savini. Yeah. Constant collaborator, yeah.
Because it just felt not like a Romero movie.
Yeah, I love that he pushed. I'm really happy Romero pushed it to this really unknown territory that it kind of is viewed like the fucking, he loves the monkey, right? Like that they're together, that they somehow are like connecting telepathically, which is another weird twist.
It was like teetering on like, the same thing with his mother, right? Like teetering on being very sexual. And I was like, what is going on here?
Definitely. You can imagine. I mean, she seemed like the mother was single and raised him and was too attached to him and willing to like give up large parts of her life for him. And
she was kind of giving off the same vibes the aunt from Sleepaway Camp was giving.
Exactly. Yes. And it's crazy, right? Like, it's crazy to think that like this guy's life is real, like, right? Like, it's just, yes, it's terrible.
Can I be quite frank? I'm going to make another racist comment.
Okay.
Isn't this just common white people activities? I don't know.
Common white people activities.
Like, okay, this checks, I guess. I don't know.
CWA, common white people activities. Well, I guess then it starts getting, and then because he's able to connect with the monkey telepathically, he's able to like see her POV and send her out to do things. And Ella, but it's very, how would you very
brain scan? Just kidding. Just because we just saw a brain scan.
Yeah, the POV shots were very kind of like designed just very similarly, right? Like, that perspective. I just think it was like, I kind of enjoyed also that he kind of changed his character. Like, he was taking on more of like Ella's persona, and Ella's persona is more of angry, more animalistic, more simplistic in its behavior, right? Like, more like I'm mad or I'm happy. I mean,
not to jump to the end, but he does develop capuchin teeth.
Yes. Cool. Do you have another thing? Do you want to get into spoilers? Do you have anything else to add?
No, we can get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. There's a sex scene, and I'm not sure it worked out.
There's a couple of sex scenes, right? There's at least two.
There's like the main one, the big one, where it's like he's not working from the neck down, but had sex with a woman, I think.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about too much about the other monkey handler, though, the trainee that trained Bella, and then she's like this blonde lady who they fall in love with because, you know, it's the movie, they gotta fall in love. And then they have a sex scene, which essentially he just he can't use his bottom from like waist down, right? Or no, not even like neck down right? He can't
quadriplegic.
So just use your imagination how he pleased her. So
which is okay, because the way this wraps up at the end is he gets an experimental spinal surgery. I'm like, okay,
this was the weird plot thing, right? So technically, so what they're insinuating here, right, is that Stanley Stucci's character, or whatever the fuck his name was, they almost want to say this, but they don't go as far as saying it, but like they run right up into it, is that Stanley Tucci's character only left him quadriplegic maybe to steal his girlfriend.
Something like that, yeah.
Because he's a bad guy. He's a bad doctor or something. Because he finds out after getting retested because his hand moved or something like that, right? That that the doctor tells him that there's a chance that there's a thing that if the Stanley Tucci character had done a little bit different surgery or something, he could have been just paralyzed, or maybe he could walk again, right? Like, instead of being the quadriplegic that he current state is.
And it took veteran actor William Newman, who is solely cast because he looks like that, I swear. R.I.P. by the way. Great actor.
Right.
To be like, yeah, actually, you know, if you wiggle your hand, that's a good sign. Like, okay.
Yeah. Show. And this possibility that if he could somehow walk again comes into a rage, and then he like sends the monkey to go kill Stanley Tucci and his ex-girlfriend.
By setting the house on fire, right?
By setting the house on fire, yeah. Which I was like, wow, that's a crazy turn if Alan is now just dispatching his monkey everywhere to kill people.
Yeah.
I was... Again, I'm like, which yes, let's watch this fucking movie.
You weren't saying sexy stuff, right? You were being literal?
I'm being... Yes.
Alan the literal, most literal. Dispatching his monkey to kill people.
In public, to kill people.
He dispatched his monkey to make love to a woman. No, I was kidding.
To spy on a couple. And this part, I was like, oh my God, this guy's heel turn. He's going to fucking kill people now, right? What's that famous movie where the guy is, what is it? He's using his telekinesis powers. He's basically a vegetable, right? But he's using the telekinesis power to kill people in the hospital. Do you remember this movie?
Shit, yeah, I do. Damn.
Yeah. The fucking name of the movie slipping, but I thought it was like, oh, that's fucking badass, right? That like he's gonna be killing people with this monkey. So like, who else could he kill?
It's a different movie, right? Is it Altered States?
I think it's a different movie. It's like the guy's name. It's or something like, I want something along those lines.
And surprisingly, that'll be two of three people that die in this movie.
It's true. The other being the very forward mother, right? She, of course, dies as well.
Oh, she does die. One, okay.
Yep.
So four people die in this movie.
And the canary.
And the canary.
Come on now. Yeah. And the canary.
but Jeffrey also dies, right? He gets injected full of poison. Right. The thing says.
Right, yeah.
Which is the same color as
cloudy white substance. Oh man.
What a fucking bonkers movie.
You want to talk about the ending?
Yes. Girlfriend comes in, new girlfriend, what's her name? Melanie sure. Parker. Melanie sure. comes in and is like, Alan, let me help you. And he's like, no, get out of here. And he's just with, you know, face acting.
Like, yeah.
No, you got to go. And he's like, I saw Jeffrey's car out there. Is he here? He's like, no, he's not here. And then she sees Jeffrey and she's like, what happened? Did you do this, Alan? Or was it Ella? And he's like, it was Ella. And he's like, exactly, Alan. It was never you. Calm down. And then she gets bodied by this capuchin. And then she's like knocked out on the floor and the capuchin is doing like, I mean, this is where it gets really, really fucking hilariously corny. You see like a fake capuchin arm come out with a match, lighting it and trying to set her on fire. It does it like twice.
Adorably, by the way. Adorably.
I'm saying like this is happening. It drags on for what feels like 10 minutes. Like the capuchin arm coming out with another match. And it goes out.
Right, yeah.
And then the capuchin is like, fine, runs and grabs a syringe of poison because it understands, Ella understands what it is and is trying to like figure out where to stab her. So it's just like a needle kind of lightly poking her face everywhere. And then Ella's like, in a nutshell, basically is like, come on, Ella. Come on, baby. Just one more time for me, baby. Come on. I love you. Like, swoons her into coming up to his face. And then, like a rabid dog, he bites her neck and swings his head back and forth, which also goes on for an uncomfortable amount of time. And I was laughing very hard.
Yes.
That's
Jason Begge.
Oh, man.
Famously is a part of Church of Scientology. So there you go.
Oh, you want to hear an interesting fact I heard?
Yes.
Back in the 70s, maybe, Charles Manson said that he tried Scientology, but he said it was too batshit crazy for him.
That checks. Yeah. That checks, yeah. Let me ask you, did you recognize the actress, Melanie Parker?
I know she plays
the blonde
Barbara in the Tom Savini dead movie, right?
I think that's somebody else. Yes. She is she played the lead in The House of Sorority Row.
Ooh. And the lead maybe not, but she was in
Glitter.
The super blockbuster hit action film Sudden Death.
There you go. There it is, guys.
That's where you know her from.
I did not. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I knew that. I just looked her up out of curiosity and then saw that. And yeah, that's a fun note.
I mean, she's still working.
She's still going.
What else do you want to say about this movie? I'm not going to tell you right now. I have no desire to watch this again.
No, but I enjoyed the quirkiness of the story. Be honest. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I did enjoy the quirkiness of the story and the sort of, some of the acting's not great, which was fun. And some of the story beats were so outlandish, it was fun.
This was like, I think maybe it was a little too slow at moment at parts of the film, so I couldn't give it like.
You could cut 20 minutes off this movie. It's a 2-hour movie. Yeah. You could easily trim this down to like a tight 90 minutes.
Because this was making me think like, you know what I should rewatch? What was that movie that you really hated? But I said like, dude, this movie is so bad that it's hilarious.
Oh, the Valentine's Day movie, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I keep forgetting it is. The one where the hospital. The
hospital one, yeah.
I don't remember. But yeah, that movie is fucking hilarious.
Right. I did not know how goofy this movie was. I always thought, well, it's a horror movie. Cool poster. The poster, honestly, it's very iconic to me growing up because I saw it a lot. And I was like, oh, shit, this is...
It's got to be scary. Yeah,
it's going to be scary. Scary as fuck.
Yeah, it's a...
Or, yeah, there's a lot of posters. There's like Sleepaway Camp 2 poster or like Child's Play... With him cutting the Jack in the Box and everything.
The poster that really got me as a kid was the, oh my God, I keep in my head, I say the Goonies, not the Goonies, the fucking little troll things, not critters, but,
God,
what were they? The, damn it. But there's a poster where it's supposed to be the sequel and it's a hand coming out of a dirty toilet with like a tube.
Oh, and
that scared
shit.
The shit out of me because then I was
Street
like
trash. No. Oh, yes. Never mind. I'm in the wrong thought place. I know exactly what you're talking about. What is it? Something you, it's like UMD or unidentified creature use. What is it called?
You think it was Chud Part 2?
Chud. Yeah. Isn't it Chud?
I don't remember.
I thought it was Chud. I could be wrong.
I just remember seeing that poster and really being terrified to go take a poop as a child.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It just really
That's a real
me.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, guys. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Right.
Anyway. This movie's batshit crazy. It's Ghoulies. It's Ghoulies too.
Ghoulies, there you go. Yeah, and that's how it ends. I love the sort of fake out
alien
moment where he's getting the surgery. You gotta have one more scare. There's a monkey coming out of his back.
Another good example of very made for TV style looking movie. Because I'm like,
yeah,
Alien's been out for almost 10 years by this point.
Dude. Yeah. Then I woke up. I can walk.
He's like,
wow.
You've had the surgery. I've had the life-altering surgery. That's basically what he's saying. Like, why is he?
Pretty much, yeah.
We get what it is. You don't have to explain everything.
Yeah. I love that. There's some really silly moments in this movie, and I enjoyed it. I like you kind of zoned in with the silliness of the movie, Valentine's Day Hospital movie or whatever that was. Was it Massacre something? Or
Hospital Massacre?
Something like that, yeah. Maybe.
I think it had like 3 movie titles too, so whatever.
That's true, yeah, it did. I really zoned in with the kookiness of this movie.
Yeah.
So
I mean I wanted to, but again, like, God, there's just parts that drag.
It's a drag. It's a drag.
Yeah.
100%. Okay.
Fake beard. Like, you don't like the beard, it's going. And then he's got like shaving cream on in the next scene and his new girlfriend is shaving him, but like there's no hair on his face. I'm like, what are you shaving?
Yeah. Well, we gotta set up the knife so the monkey can adorably swing it in his face.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. It's like the stiffest monkey arm. Like.
Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before you rate the movie?
No.
Okay, John. How many sexy spooky builds do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky builds will you give? Sexy spooky bones. No way.
just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Monkey Shines 4 sexy spooky bones. I'd give it 5 if they cut 30 minutes out of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had more fun with it, but I think I'm right with you. I think it's a 4, honestly. Yeah. I don't know if I'll rewatch this, but I did enjoy the time I had with it, I guess, if that makes any sense. So 4 for me.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's like problematic, but not in any of the major ways you would think. I mean, bestiality is certainly in here.
Very much in here. Incestual
relationships are certainly in here.
Very much in here, yeah. Yeah.
Ethical codes.
Intentionally and unintentionally, you would say. Yeah, yeah. This movie.
Broken ethical codes with doctors.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
Anyway.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.